Car engines can redline. You can hit the red line in a rev or in between shifts. When you hold it down in the red for too long, it will give. It has its limits. It will blow up. How many of us have ever felt like that poor car engine? You know, if you just add one more thing, I'm liable to just bend and break. If you add one more fuse to the fuse box there, something's going to short circuit and it's going to fry my life. Right? We've all been there. We live in America. The world of fried lives. You know, if we keep living in the red, if we keep pushing our engines, our bodies, to a point where they stay in a state of being redlined, a state of being overburdened or overworked or overstressed, it will meet its limit and it will blow up. See, overloaded people, people who live in the red, people like you and me, we need words that begin with re. Refresh. Restore. Revive. Recover. Recline. Relax. Replenish. And renew. Well, those are appealing words, aren't they? I mean, they're great to hear. I mean, just sitting here on a Sunday morning, just hearing that list, you're already feeling a little more relaxed, and you're saying, boy, this sounds good. I like this. I like where this is headed. See, well, you guys know me too well. The zinger's on all of us today. We'll get to that at the end, though. But see, the God who made us, the God who knows us best, He knew that we were going to have a tendency to live our lives at breakneck speeds. He knew that we were going to live our lives in the red because of the type of people we are, that the creation that He made. And so He gave us a plan. God gave us a plan to help keep us from blowing up like that poor NSX. To give us a simple plan on how to keep from living in the red. Now you're going to want to write this down. Go on and get your pencils out. Open your bulletins there to your notes section. This is very important. God's plan to keep us from living in the red is simply to take a day off every week. That's it. That's it. I mean, it's right here in the Word. It's what God says. That, some of you guys are disappointed. Some of you are looking for some profound, deep knowledge. I've got three blanks here to fill out. This is going to be great. But that's all God tells us to do. This is His plan. This is His desire to create in us a pattern of life. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus is the second book in your Bible, very easy book to find. Exodus chapter 20. I'm telling you guys where it was, and I was fumbling around in Genesis. Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 8, and we're going to look at God's simple plan here of taking a day off every week. Verse 8 is where we're going to start. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God gave us instructions for a very simple plan. And he says, here's what you need to do. This is the cycle of life that I want you to live in. This is the cycle of life that I want you to put into practice. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to work 6 days and rest one. Not tremendously difficult. Every 7 days, you are to take one day, pick a day, and it will be your Sabbath day, your rest day. The day that you will be replenished. Now, I want to remind you where this shows up in the Bible. Some of you guys might not know exactly what chapter 20 in Exodus contains. See, chapter 20 in Exodus is where we find the Ten Commandments. God's big Ten Commandments. And right there in the middle of these Ten Commandments, we find God's desire for us to take a Sabbath day. This is among the Ten Commandments. Can you guys remember any of the other Ten Commandments? I mean, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not... I heard murder. Is that right? Thou shalt not murder, kill. A little difference. I choose murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All right? Oh, and by the way, take a day off every week. We don't picture that, do we? We don't picture that taking a day off a week belongs in a list with things like thou shalt not murder. There, I almost said it. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't see that as being something that's that important. We don't view it as a commandment either, do we? Well, a lot of times we view the Sabbath day as more of a suggestion. We don't view the other commandments like that, do we? I mean, you don't look at thou shalt not murder and look at that and say, you know, it's just generally not a good idea to, you know, murder someone. You know, I don't want to pry into your love life or anything, but probably not a good idea to sleep around on your spouse. You can do what you want, but just not a good idea. No. We look at those and we look at them and we say, this is black and white, don't we? This is something God's saying, do not do. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not work one day out of every six. You work 6 days, you take a day off. You know, if we were to commit one of those other sins listed there, you know, if we were to steal from somebody, I would hope we would feel guilty about that. You take something that doesn't belong to you. You feel something in you that says, this isn't right. You know, if you were going to commit adultery, if you're going to cheat on your husband or your wife, I'd certainly hope that we'd feel guilty about that. Just thinking about it, a lot of us are thinking, man, I'd feel, oh, I couldn't even fathom doing that. You know, we hear stories, sad stories about people that accidentally take someone else's life. That's why I chose the difference between murder and kill. We have situations where that happens accidentally. They didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. And they struggle with guilt their whole life. Much less someone who blatantly murders, maliciously intends to take someone else's life. And we think we would feel guilty. The general person would, but breaking the Sabbath day? We don't feel guilty about that at all, do we? Not in the least. In fact, a lot of us might brag about it. I'm such a man's man. I work 7 days a week. I don't need a day off. Right? Think about that for a minute. We're to work 6 days, take a day off. We don't see that. We see working 7 days. We say, that's just a way of my life. That's a way of life. That's just the way I operate. Look down in your Bibles there in chapter 20. If you look between verses 3 of chapter 20 and verse 17 of chapter 20, those are your Ten Commandments. Those are the Ten Commandments. Notice something about this commandment. There's more text space allotted to this commandment than any of the others. The commandment about an idol is the only one that comes close, and it's still just a little shorter than the space that's dedicated to this. You look at the ones we just brought up. Thou shalt not murder. Four words. Thou shalt not steal. Four words. All right, you guys ready to expand a little? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Five words. But we get down to this commandment about the Sabbath day, and God goes into detail on this, and it's he says, very detailed, don't let your son work, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant. Even the animals are to get a day off. Don't even let your animals work. Or the alien that's within your gates. We're not talking, you know, UFOs. We're talking out-of-town guest. If you have an out-of-town guest staying at your house, they're not to work. Not on the Sabbath day. God takes this seriously. He gives us a lot of commentary on this. He explains it very clearly. In fact, he makes it abundantly clear what not working on the Sabbath day means. He says that every single area needs to be shut down. You need to stop everything for one day, for one 24-hour period. It's as if God was saying, I know how you're going to respond to this. I know you people like to live in the red. I know you guys like to overdo, overextend. So I'm going to make it very clear. I know you're going to want to resist this commandment. I know you're going to want to rebel against this commandment. I know you're going to want to sweep this commandment underneath the rug and say it's not as important. So God says specifically, this is an important commandment. See, taking a Sabbath day or a day off every single week is a command from God. It is number 4 on his top 10 list. See, and some of you would look at that and you'd say, well, don't we live under the new covenant? I mean, I'm not Jewish. We're Christians. And that changed when Jesus, didn't something change when Jesus came in? You're saying, well, we don't have church on Saturday. And back then, the Sabbath was a Saturday. Guys, the word for Sabbath, Sabbath, it means rest. That's all it means. Sabbath has nothing to do with Saturday. It simply means rest. Some of you say, well, we worship on Sunday morning. Sunday morning must be the new Sabbath day. So I have to take Sunday morning. Well, Sunday morning doesn't work for some people. Namely, us ministers. Sunday's a work day. Some of you might have to work on Sunday and say, well, I'm breaking the Sabbath. It has nothing to do with the Sunday, because you say, that's the day we worship on. See, the Sabbath has nothing to do with worship. It has everything to do with rest. The word sabbat means to end, to cease, to rest. Now, the first time we see this Hebrew word, sabbath, in Scripture, it's translated rest. It's translated the way it should be. In Genesis chapter 2, when God created the world, a lot of us are familiar with that story. God took 6 days and he created the world. He made the heavens and the earth and the skies and stars and the people and animals and birds and well, birds went up there and the fish in the sea. And then it says, very specifically there in Genesis chapter 2, that on the seventh day God rested. Whew. Man, was God exhausted? Was that what it was? Was he just sitting back going, whoa, man, I can't do much more. I'm going to have to take a day break. Of course not. We're talking about God here. He just spoke these things into existence, and it was. And he was happy. He didn't take a day off because he needed rest. Our Bible tells us that he doesn't rest, that he doesn't slumber. I believe he did it because he was implementing for you and for me a pattern, a cycle of life, a rhythm of life that is necessary for every single one of us. Building in something where he can look back and say, hey guys, I took a rest. I'm living an example for you. See, God gave us the example to follow by resting on the seventh day of creation. So we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and we see that God gave us an example of this Sabbath rest. And then we fast forward back to where we were up to Exodus chapter 20 and he gives them the law. He says, here, number 4, top 10 list, do not work on the Sabbath day. It's for you to rest. It's for you to be replenished. It's for you to experience all those words that begin with re that we looked at earlier. Turn back a couple chapters there in Exodus to chapter 16. We're going to go there in just a minute. You know, God gave us this commandment. And you got to appreciate a God who prioritizes giving his people a day off. I mean, that's good news, isn't it? And to know that that's important to God, that we get rest. Some of you are saying right now, you're saying, preacher, you don't understand my business. You don't understand my industry. You don't understand the way my personal life has to work. You don't understand the things I have in my schedule. You don't understand what's going on. Because if you did, you wouldn't stand up there and tell me to take a day off. It's threatening for some people to even think about the possibility of losing 24 hours of their work week. I do understand that we live in a 24/7 culture. We live in a culture that lives day by day. We live in a culture that lives in the red. And we see the effects of that day in and day out. You see stress taking people. I mean, stress is a major cause of a lot of our physical ailments that actually end up in death. It's not healthy to live in the red. And yet we look at it and we say, we have to live in this way because it's our culture. Well, let me challenge you to take a look at the culture that existed when God gave this command. We have the Israelites who had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They've been in Egypt, slaves. Now, slaves don't get a day off. They serve hand and foot working for the person that's their master. In any spare time they had, they weren't off playing video games or golf. They were taking care of their family. They were taking care of their personal needs. Then God comes and he frees them. And then what are they doing? They're wandering through the wilderness. In our Wednesday night class, Josh and I are working through the Old Testament. And last Wednesday, he was talking about Leviticus and Numbers. And he's describing just the tabernacle alone and these huge poles. How many of those poles were there? 48. I said 47 first service. There are 48 of these poles that were, 500-600 pounds a piece. And these guys would set this up, this tabernacle up, and they'd tear it down amidst all of their homes. See, they didn't just go home at night. They were traveling, and they were going through the wilderness, through the desert, and the places where God would lead them. And their daily schedule was they would wake up in the morning, they would tear down camp, they'd get some breakfast, and they'd start hiking. They'd get to where they were going to stop. And I don't know how in the world they did this, but then they'd set back up camp, and they'd eat some dinner, and they'd go to sleep, and they'd wake up the next day. And if the Lord had lifted off the tabernacle, it was time to move again. Sometimes they only stayed for one day. That's a 24/7 culture, if I've heard of one. That's movement. That's hand-to-mouth type of living. See, God gave this command in the midst of a 24/7 culture. 400 years of slavery and then being freed. They had a pattern of life that God was disrupting with this command. And they were probably thinking the same thing you and I are right now. They're thinking, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can take a day off. That's absolutely impossible. We're living hand to mouth as it is, and even then, we're barely making ends meet. But God said, you need to do this. And you need to do this every single week. You need to take a Sabbath for yourself. And as I asked you guys to turn to Exodus chapter 16, we have about 2 million, some have estimated, Israelites that have fled from Egypt. And they're in the desert. And we pick them up here in chapter 16, verse 2. It says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died in the Lord's hand in Egypt, by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. See, when they left Egypt, God allowed them to plunder the Egyptians, so they probably took a good amount of food with them. But here we are, about a little over 2 months later, and they're running out of food. I get grumpy when I get hungry. Do I share that with anyone else? Does anyone else get grumpy when you get hungry? And that's what was happening to the Israelites. They were getting hungry, and so they started grumbling. They said, man, it would have been better if we'd have just stayed in Egypt. At least there we had food. What'd you do, bring us out here so we could starve to death? Well, keep reading. Actually, before we touch that, I want to remind you that 400 years, the Israelites had prayed that God would send them a deliverer. And in under 3 months, their bellies were starving. They said, put us back in slavery. This doesn't make sense. Going down to verse 11. And we'll see what God does for them here. It says, the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. You guys catch that? Flakes like frost. They were frosted flakes. You know, Kellogg's just doesn't have anything on God. God was doing that thousands of years ago. So these frosted flakes were on the ground. And verse 15, when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, they said, what is it? You know, they'd never heard of Kellogg's. For they did not know what it was. So they had asked, what is it? And the name stuck. They say, what is it? Yes. No, what is it? Exactly. No, what are you eating? What is it? That's what I want to know. And it's like the old, who's on first? The name manna means, what is it? And that's what stuck. What is it? So they were told to only gather up enough for one day. And that was about 2 liters, about 2 quarts worth. And they were told to only gather enough for one day. But some of them disobeyed God. Some of them gathered more because they'd been hungry. And so they got a little greedy. And they said, well, what if God doesn't put this down tomorrow? You know, we've been there before. We see something, we say, I'm going to take it all because I need it. I'll need it tomorrow. Well, they did so. And they woke up the next day and, oh, I'm hungry. And they go down and they gather their manna. Woo! It started to stink. And it started to move. It began to be filled with maggots. Yuck. So God was saying, all right, you're going to listen to me. You get enough for one day. Because this stuff doesn't have a shelf life. Or at least it doesn't 6 days of the week. So he says, I want you to depend on me. That's what God was saying. I want you to understand that I'm going to be the source for everything you need. I don't want you to take enough for Tuesday on Monday. I want you to trust me day after day after day. Now, there was one exception to the shelf life of manna. God gave this to the Israelites, this one exception. Go on down to verse 23 in chapter 16. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, and as Moses commanded. Get this, it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the Sabbath day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind what the Lord has given you. Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, the rest. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to get out, to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. See, God had instructed the Israelites, "I want you to gather and I want you to work for 6 days. And I'm going to provide for you for 7. See, God was setting them up in chapter 16 for the law that he was going to be given to them in chapter 20. He was giving them a life cycle change. He was butting into their lifestyle and saying, and saying, "Look, if you're going to want food, you got to collect just enough for that day, except for the day before the Sabbath. And on that day, collect enough for 2, and you're going to rest. You're going to shut it down. You're going to take 24 hours and you're going to rest." And people asked, they said, "How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this if we don't collect for ourselves, if we don't go out and accumulate for ourselves? How are we going to be taken care of?" Some of them even went out on the Sabbath day to see if there was any there, and there was none. See, God is asking them, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me? You gather enough for 6 days, and I will provide enough for 7. You do 6 days worth of work, I'll give you 7 days worth of production. You give me 6 days worth of effort, and I'll give you 7 days worth of product. He'll give us provision. He'll take care of us." And he's asking, "Do you trust me?" See, because through the Sabbath day, we get a rest. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to rest. See, if you trust God in this, he will make sure that you see 7 days worth of production in your work for 6 days worth of effort. And you will be refreshed because you've obeyed his command. God knows we need the rest. God knows that we have a tendency to live our lives in the red. And he knows that we have a tendency to get self-sufficient. See, that's the purpose of the Sabbath day right there, just in those two things there. The purpose of the Sabbath day, it's a day of rest for his loved people so that they will be refreshed. And it's a day to demonstrate our trust in our God as our provider. That's the purpose of the Sabbath day. Now most of you are trying to filter this because now you're starting to get a little buy-in on this. You're thinking, "Man, this sounds kind of nice. I like this. God wants me to take a rest. God wants me to take a break." And then now you're trying to apply it and you're saying, "How in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to apply this to my schedule? We're running out of time. Are you going to give me some application?" You know, it's not my job. That's between you and God. That's a decision you have to make between you and God. My job is to make it clear what God's word says about this day and about our need to take a rest because we are living in the red. You know, and you need to decide what day that's going to be. It doesn't have to be Saturday. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be any particular day, but just pick a 24-hour period, set it aside, say, "This day is holy to the Lord, and this is going to be the day I rest." See, it's about partnering with God to establish a certain rhythm to your life to prevent overload by refreshing your body, by demonstrating your trust in God, that he will give you 7 days worth of production for 6 days worth of work. How are we going to do that? You know, I have to confess to you, I love my job. I really do. And I told myself this week, because I don't do a good job with this one. See, I could sit right here and just listen to myself preach it, because I'm in the trenches with you guys on this one. Last week, I could stand up here and I could say, "As for me and my house," not today. Today, I'm saying, "Man, I struggle with this. I had set aside some time. I said, all right, I'm gonna set aside a Sabbath day. That way when I go in there Sunday, I can preach it and say, hey, I took a Sabbath day and it was wonderful. I'm refreshed. I feel great. And so I had planned. The office is closed at 4 so on Friday. So I was going to take from 4 o'clock Friday to 4 o'clock Saturday. We had an event here Saturday evening. I was like, all right, there's 24 hours. I can do it. I'm going to test this out. And I'm going to be able to go in there and tell them how awesome God is and how great it feels. Well, I got a phone call in the middle of the week, and there was a family that had no church connection, and they needed a minister for a funeral. And I said, well, when is it? They said, well, Saturday morning. So I looked at my Outlook planner there, you know, and we have our different planners. We have our schedule. And I looked, and it's blank. I said, well, it's free. What do you know? So I said, all right, I'll do that for you. Well, then later that day, I was like, idiot, that was your Sabbath day. So here's my suggestion there. I'd share that story with you because put it in your planner. Put it in Outlook. I did so. I put it in my Outlook now. I've got that. So now when I go there and I see empty space, I don't say, oh, there's empty space. Yeah, I can do something. I see that and it reminds me, that's time I've set aside for the Lord. Now I can be adjusted. I can move my 24 hours around. So I'm not saying I'm going to be inflexible or that you should be inflexible. But that's there to remind me, hey, that's time I've got set aside. And if I can plan something at a different time, then I'm going to move things around a little bit. I want you guys to join me. I want us to partner together with each other and partner with God. I'm not good at this. I confess that. I don't think any of us here are good at taking a Sabbath rest. And God's word has been blatantly clear. This is obviously something that's very important to God. It's very important that we get refreshed. See, Jesus put it, he said it very, very good. He said, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. This is a command that was given to us to refresh us, to bless us, to make us work more efficiently in the way that God wants us to live, to keep us from living in the red and blowing up like that car engine did, to keep us from hurting our families, from hurting our physical bodies, from hurting our minds and our emotions. We need that replenishing rest. We need renewal. And so I want you guys to join me in this. This is going to be tough. Because this is counterculture. This is going to interrupt our lives. And this next week, pick a 24-hour period and set that aside. Do so today because it'll get scheduled in if you don't. Set that aside and say, that's my Sabbath day. That's my rest. I want to take God up on His promise. In fact, turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, verse 13. God says through the prophet Isaiah, He says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, listen to this. Then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. And God signs it. It says, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that something that you look at and you say, I want that. I want to take God up on that. Well, it's right there. He's offered it to us. And I want you to join me as we challenge each other and we keep each other accountable. Let us each take a 24-hour period this next week and experience that rest and trust God that He's going to give us 7 days of provision for 6 days worth of effort. You know, the Hebrew writer talks about a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest that is yet to come. The Hebrew writer says that we have a Sabbath day rest that's coming where we will get a chance to go into heaven and be with God.